Welcome back to an episode of What Would You Do? I'm Danny.
And I'm Ray.
And hopefully y'all had a great Thanksgiving. I know you probably hate us because we released an episode, dipped, and now we're back again 2 weeks later. But y'all should be used to the schedule by now. I don't know what to tell you.
Really, y'all should be used to it by now. We're working on a year.
And even more so, listen, Patreon exists.
Patreon exists. If you want something, if you want to hear from us, go there. There's extra episodes for you.
Then we got our social media. Like, gee, like, y'all don't...
We be out here.
We be putting all types of graphics on social media. Y'all don't be checking.
Seriously, y'all don't check nothing. Y'all not appreciative. We got Instagram at WWYDPodC. We got Twitter at WWYDPodC. We got Facebook. What would you do? You know, we got all these places for you to come and talk to.
We got our blog. We got a whole website.
What would you do? Podcast.
Y'all be telling me.
Subscribe to the fucking website. It don't cost nothing to subscribe to the website. Go view our blogs.
Follow. It's free. And you get to see what sources we read. You get to hear what, like, when we describe faces and we talk about how ugly people are. Like, you get to see what they look like.
You get to see it.
Not that we ever are just like, oh, you're so ugly. But it's like, we have those moments where it's like, I don't understand how y'all was calling this man attractive.
Don't get it at all. How was he pulling so many bitches? That doesn't make any sense to me. You know, like, that's sense. Now you get to see and understand where we be coming from. And you can't do that if you not subscribed to the blog.
Exactly.
But I mean, you don't gotta subscribe to the blog to see it.
But you can, like, at least bookmark our website.
You can bookmark it and so you could check it on a regular. Like, you don't have to get emails from us, but wouldn't it be nice to get emails from us?
Right.
And while y'all at it, leave some reviews, some 5 stars. Come on. Stop playing with me.
I know we have a couple of reviews now.
And
it's like, okay, so those episodes.
You keep going in and out.
We're recording. I see. Those episodes that we recorded where we were just simply using Skype audio, we are going to try to redo those episodes for those of you who talked about the echoes in the background. We did hear you. We understand you. We will go ahead and fix the audio issues because we are actually going to be taking a break. So this will not be the last episode, but this is the second to last episode of the season one of What Would You Do? The very last episode actually comes out, I think, maybe a day or two before Christmas. And then after that, you won't hear from us until February.
February. And we're talking the end of February, baby.
Yeah. We're taking a long break.
Again, if you want to hear from us, follow us on social media. And if you want a special last episode, a super duper last episode, subscribe to our Patreon. Our lowest tier is $2. Our second highest tier is $3. And our very highest tier is $5. Really affordable for the Christmas holiday season. And we'll probably change it back by the time we come back in February.
Yep.
So get it while you can. Get it while it's hot, baby.
Exactamento, because we got some stuff coming. I think we actually post to Patreon first before we post to Anchor, y'all.
Yep. So if you interested on where we at, you know, when we come back, you want to hear from us first, you want to be the first person to know that What Would You Do is coming back to the gram and to Apple Music and Spotify and whatever the hell you listen to us on, what you need to do is subscribe to our Patreon.
Yep.
And if we get enough subscriptions, you might get, I don't know, a shout out. Whatever you're feeling like, baby. If you're feeling generous,
right?
Ask us for something. We'll provide it.
Shit, we'll get that shit started.
Period.
Because, hi, kitty, I want a sweatshirt. Not gonna lie.
Yeah, get enough subscriptions. We'll make some merch. Okay.
Ooh, bro. Imagine. That will be lit, not gonna lie.
It'll be so lit. You know you want it. You know you want to see it. And we got iPads now. We can design it ourselves. Y'all know y'all want some customized fucking merch. You know you want it. So go ahead, subscribe. Subscribe to our Patreon. What would you do? Go ahead. The link is always in the bio. Oh, shit. Is it? It's not.
Yes.
It is?
I think it is. Yes, I think it is.
Fingers crossed.
Yes. Are you talking about the Patreon link?
Yeah.
Yeah, we have a link tree.
It's in our, the episode about.
Like, no, it's not.
It's never in there. But it's always in our Instagram and Twitter bios and our Facebook bios. So, you know, while you're over there following us, click the links.
And click there's a whole button on our website.
A whole button. Come on, get with us. It sounds like we big. We kind of are.
My audio is going to go out really quick, but hold on.
All right. Yeah, so I know it sounds like we begging for y'all, but if we not, we just saying, give us a little love, give us a little support.
So that's all we're asking for. That's all we want.
That's all we want.
My audio went out last time because it connected to my phone through some odd reason. And I was like, wait. anyway, we said all that because this next... What we're going to talk about today is going to get our blood pressure up. So we decided to start lighthearted in the beginning because, y'all, this case is...
the bane of my existence.
I hate it. It involves some very prominent figures, many of whom are never really discussed when it comes to this case, but it involves them some way, shape, or form.
They were a part of this.
Yeah. So today we are actually going to talk about the case of, or the death of, Maitrice Richardson.
Yes.
Now, if y'all like me, and like you probably heard of this case but didn't think too much of it, it's a really, I feel like it's kind of a political case.
Yeah,
if you really think about it, because like so many factors go into this case that we're obviously going to get into, but this is just a forewarning. If you are a Kamala Harris supporter or a Trump supporter, or if Biden and Kamala Harris at this point have been elected both the president and the VP of the U.S. of you need to exit this episode. This episode is absolutely not for you.
You are not going to be happy.
You're not going to be happy at all.
Guys, we're still in the throes of the election. Like, we still don't know who the president is at the current time. Like, we're pre-recording, and I need you to understand that this election is bullshit. But
trash.
You know, we are not liberals.
No.
I would argue that we are more likely socialists, like on the scale of things. And we are abolitionists. And here's tea. Nobody that is up for the table right now are anywhere near our politics.
No.
And some of the people we are about to discuss are technically on the opposite side of our politics, but y'all don't consider them on the opposite side of our politics because they're liberals, but they're on the opposite fucking side.
Yes.
Like, sure, they're straddling the center, but they're heading towards the red. Okay, let's be clear.
They're very much bench warmers for the red and the blue.
Very much, okay? And I will not bite my tongue to make you other doe-eyed liberals happy. I won't do it.
I can't do it.
I won't, and yeah, I am already pent up because of what I'm living in right now, and so I'm tired of biting my tongue. I'm gonna let this shit unleash in this episode, so please be prepared for that. Be prepared for an angry abolitionist, okay? Give me
like
a break.
Like we said in like one of our very first episodes, our episodes are 85% fact and 15% or whatever this number is of us giving our opinion.
Yeah, like it's a, so I would argue it's a little higher than 15%. No shade to any, like, you know, just, you know, gotta be honest, you know, y'all Aaron's, I got feelings. I got strong feelings.
For Ray, it's more than 15%. For me, it's just 15%.
Oh, yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, you go on way more rants than I do.
It's natural to me.
Exactly. Me, I'm just like, all right, let's get through my notes, okay? Because we're in like 40 minutes. I swear, but
she never stops me from talking.
I never. Because honestly, as they keep talking, I'm like, all right, I won't discuss this. I'll just put this on the blog. I'll edit that out. Because I got to keep it. And I'm like, I'm going to let them do it. Go ahead. Get your groove on. Yeah, I would not be a great debate host at all.
Just for like the talk.
Absolutely. I'm not even kidding. I mean, we recorded the very first debate. This is so off topic, but y'all should be used to this by now. Yeah. We recorded the very first debate on our sister podcast, The Misadventures of Ray and Danny. Yeah. And I talked about how all the things that I would do if I was like the host and how I would shut Trump up and all that crap. But in reality, what I would have done is just walked up and quit. Like, I just sort of walked off set and be like, I quit. I can't do this. I can't talk to this person. Meanwhile, Ray sitting there asking questions that's not even on the fucking cards. And like, the producers are in the back like, hey, stop. Cut.
Meanwhile, me, I'm like, so, do you want to explain why you did XYZ in 25? Like, I'm all the way back in 1966 and you, I can't stop.
And I'm just gone because I'm like, honestly, the both of y'all, like, I don't care. Anyway, moving along. Matrice LaVonne Richardson was born April 30th, 1985 to Latisse Sutton and Michael Richardson. So the interesting thing about Matrice's relationship with her biological father is that he actually didn't help raise her. Yeah. That sounds really interesting. Yeah. He actually served some time in prison. I don't know if that had anything to do with him raising her or anything like that, but I guess that's important some way somehow.
Yeah, but they didn't get close until after she was like fully grown.
Yeah, because after he was released from prison, he basically just focused on his career. And so she lived and was raised by her mother and stepfather, Larry Sutton, which I make that distinction and I make that importance because I know I had questions about why Matrice's last name was Richardson and her mom's wasn't. Because I was like, oh, this is just, you know, the dad just has a different name. Like, that's cool, I guess. But no, that's the reason why. And so there isn't much on Matrice from birth until, like, basically 2008. But from what we both gathered from the documentary that we watched and what we gathered from YouTube is really just that she was a phenomenal student. She was a dancer. She was a cheerleader. She was a beauty pageant contestant, I believe. So she did kind of like a variety of different things, but we just gonna go ahead and move on to the juicy stuff. So
don't talk like that.
In 2008, she graduated from California State University with a Bachelor of Arts in Psychology. Ooh, foreshadow. I'm sorry, y'all. She had a 4.0 GPA and actually was interested in completing a doctorate program. I'm not 100% sure what doctorate program she was interested in, but from what I gather from, again, a lot of our sources is that she was either interested in child psychology or being a clinical psychologist. Mm-hmm. Because at the time, she actually was working as an intern at the office of Rhonda Hampton. Rhonda Hampton plays a major role, so please remember that name.
Yeah, keep her in mind.
And she was also working as a go-go dancer at a local nightclub, because at the time when she was like graduating and in college and all that stuff, she was actually living with her great-grandmother Mildred Hughes in South LA. So she was just simply a go-go dancer, And I'm not going to explain to y'all what a go-go dancer is. You should absolutely know. A go-go dancer is not a stripper or a prostitute. Just know that.
A lot of y'all are grown. Y'all should know what a go-go dancer is.
You absolutely should know. I mean, we all saw Jersey Shore. I'm sorry. But, like, for real, we did. I watched it.
Shut up. We do have a couple of youngins, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they might not know.
Dang, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow. Anyway, listen, I don't want to acknowledge anybody after like 1999. Sorry. So Matrice was in a relationship with Tessa Moon for about 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
I have to mention, Tessa didn't think, and this is Ray's going to talk about like everything else, but Tessa didn't think that there was anything mentally wrong with Maitrice. Like, she was one of the people that's like, she wasn't mentally ill, she was perfectly normal. And I'm like, babes, I want to know what normal is to you.
Please let me know what normal is.
Because sistren. So this is a bit of a foreshadow, because the couple ended up breaking up in the fall of 2009, and around that time is when Latisse started to notice changes in her daughter's behavior. And so, basically, she just was acting really weird. I know she was having trouble sleeping at times. She always had these weird thoughts running through her head. She had an entire diary, if I remember correctly, where she scribbled down every single idea that she ever had, and it was just a jumbled mess when they found it. But what I do want to talk about, and Ray, at any point, go ahead and jump in.
Okay.
Y'all are studies saying that she had bipolar disorder. I have to respectfully disagree.
I have to respectfully disagree. I'm sorry.
Listen, yes, I told you.
Listen, okay, let me just say this really quickly. I am somebody who has bipolar too, okay? I know what bipolar 1 looks like. What mm-hmm. she was presenting was not bipolar disorder.
No.
I don't know who decided it was bipolar disorder. Nobody ever said, like, who it was. They just said it was a bipolar episode. And it's clear to me, and even though Dr. Hampton is a psychologist, I'm like, did she say it was a fucking bipolar episode? Because then I have to question your credibility, right? Like,
I mean,
what other symptoms was she showing to you personally that she is having a bipolar episode? Because in order for it to be bipolar 1 or bipolar 2, there has to be a depressive episode. Well, exactly. Bipolar 1, you don't need the depressive episode, you just need the manic episode. And mm-hmm. while she was having what seemed to be a manic episode, I don't know if I would call it a manic episode. Like, yeah,
no.
She mm-hmm. randomly drove to Malibu. Yes, it was that she said she went to Joffrey's because of the lights or whatever, but she was also having some speech issues, tangential speech. That's what she was experiencing. Like, if she had a thought, she just said it, and it was completely interruptive and very much changing the way that she thought and moved. And that mm-hmm. kind of speech is in par with psychosis and potential like schizoid issues. And it seems like she was dealing with some delusions, like she mm-hmm. was, and we'll get into exactly that when I talk about what led up to her disappearance, or when mm-hmm. are you talking, whichever one no. of us first. But like, that's not a symptom of bipolar disorder.
No.
That no, those are schizotypal issues. So yeah. And you can't diagnose somebody after they're dead and after you haven't spoken to them, because you need to know the length of the symptoms, you need to know primary issues, and it's really careless that you guys are labeling her as bipolar. We're gonna stick with that she was presenting some questionable symptoms of mental illness, mm-hmm. Because we are gonna be responsible psychology students, okay?
Yeah.
What's wrong? Which so, 10 years of them calling her bipolar.
It's ridiculous. So, thank you for your rant.
Sorry, I have to explain.
Oh, you're absolutely good. Because this is what I want to explain for you non-psychology folks out there. So the biggest difference between bipolar disorder and schizophrenia is that schizophrenia is actually not as common as bipolar. And typically, it presents between the ages of 16 and 30. In men, as we know, it can start as early as their 20s. In women, it typically starts mid to late 20s and then their early 30s. But you're never really diagnosed after your 40s, supposedly.
Yeah.
So bipolar disorder, as Ray mentioned, is basically has symptoms of like manic episodes, hypomanic episodes, and depressive episodes. You can have psychosis under bipolar disorder, but even then, it's mostly you have difficulty communicating clearly, difficulty concentrating, reduced social contact, which is not 100% true in her because she was still contacting people. She did still do well. I mean, she was a graduate student at this point. She was still, you know, talking to people. She actually was actively online during this mm-hmm. time, and I wish we could see the Facebook post, but unfortunately, ooh, we can't.
No.
Oh, how I wish. I would post the pictures. But we can't.
Right?
Now, schizophrenia. It has positive and negative symptoms. That does not mean something is good or bad. It simply means it's taking away something or it's bringing something to you.
Yes.
So, this is the reason why I think that she had some type of schizoid disorder, because it was the making irrational statements for me, surprising mm-hmm. or unusual behavior, an altered sleep schedule. She wasn't sleeping normally. Mm-hmm. Inappropriate laughter. she was having some sort of delusion, because I think that's the real reason why she went to Draw Freeze. And then on top of that, she was having disorganized thoughts or behaviors. Her yes. thoughts weren't 100% organized, which is why it came out as gibberish to most people, because she probably assumed that what she was talking about was
made perfect sense.
Exactly. It was the most logical thing ever, and you were staring at her like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Like, girl, what are you saying? And that probably gave her a lot of frustration, because it's like, I'm saying exactly what you think I'm saying. And it's like, mm-hmm. you just told me that you were from Mars. I don't think that you're saying what you think you're saying.
Exactly. Because neural brain here, there's different parts of your brain that, there's two parts of your brain that focuses on speech, basically. One is Broca's area, Broca, mouth. Winokur's area, think of basically understanding. Obviously, you use your ears to understand, you use your mouth to talk. If one of those areas is damaged, say, for instance, like, Broca's area is damaged in the brain. I'm not saying hers was, but just bear with me, y'all, because it's going to make sense. If Broca's area is damaged, everything you say, despite you understanding the conversation or the context of the conversation, is going to be gibberish, because mm-hmm. you have fucked up your word center in your brain. So your formation of words is completely off. Same thing with Winokur's area. If Broca area works, but someone's speaking to you, you may be able to speak to them, but you won't be able to understand what the hell it is they're saying, because you can't make sense of the words. So it's really, really important, y'all. There's distinctions, and from what I learned, that's not a common trait of bipolar disorder.
It's not.
Like, don't get me wrong, you can have racing thoughts and all that stuff, and you can have episodes where, you know, you are hypo focused on something, but that is a huge difference.
Yeah, and
not being understood.
There are bipolar people who have psychosis and schizoid affects. However, mm-hmm. it's not very common, and it's really difficult to have a comorbidity that way, and you need to be mm-hmm. under intense evaluation and supervision to come to that conclusion. Like, and them having a couple of weeks of her acting funny isn't enough to diagnose her that way.
It's not. It's really not, crazily enough.
Yeah.
And another thing is that if it did happen, not saying that it did, but if it was that she took a drug that she wasn't supposed to take, yes, that can present schizophrenic symptoms. Mm-hmm. As we know, if you pop some PCP, you're going to have a moment. And we've talked mm-hmm. about this, y'all, in our episode. So he popped PCP, and what he do? Ate his friend.
Ate his friend. He ate things his friend.
Can things can happen. But anyway, let's go into her disappearance.
Let's go into that. So, let me just start this off with, this shit is chaotic.
Completely.
So, like Danny was mentioning, she had some... She'd been acting weird for a while, ever since she and her girlfriend had broken up. And there's some arguments on whether or not her and Tessa were ever actually together, but she's reported her girlfriend, so that's what we're gonna say. Okay, so the day of her disappearance, let's talk about that, which was on September 17th, 2009. She... normally ate dinner with her grandma, her great grandma Mildred, at her house, I believe, and her great grandma was 90 at the time, so she didn't travel out much, she didn't leave her house much, and so they would just eat dinner together and enjoy each other's presence, because Maitrice was basically raised by her grandmother, her great grandmother. It's her great grandmother, but they often call her grandma, basically.
Yeah,
because according to this video I watched, Latisse was also raised by Mildred, and she basically saw Mildred as, like, her real mom. So keep that in mind in this relationship. And Latisse had Maitrice really young, and that's when Maitrice spent so much time with Mildred. But she called her grandma, who was in South LA, like you said, and said, you know, Granny, I'm not really feeling it today. I got something to do. I'm going to go to Malibu. I'm going to drive up to Malibu, and I'm going to go do some stuff there and take care of business there. And her grandma didn't notice anything, like, different or strange about her. So she was like, okay, baby, go ahead, do what you got to do. We'll eat dinner together tomorrow. And so Maitrice got in her car and drove down to Malibu, or up to Malibu. I don't understand California.
Me either.
And she, on her drive, like, no, she didn't tell anybody where she was going in Malibu, just that she was going to Malibu or whatever. Who cares? And she found herself at Joffrey's. It's spelled like Jeffrey with a G, but it's Joffrey's. And according to her, she was attracted by the lights. And at Joffrey's, she's a little chaotic. It's a it's a high-end place. It gets, like, 4-star reviews. Mm-hmm. No, not 4-star reviews. It's a 4-star restaurant. You know that scale, that restaurant? Yeah. It's high up there, y'all. It's high-end. Dress code. She's sticking out because she's got a Rastafarian hat on. She's got a Bob Marley shirt on. And I don't know what color the Bob Marley shirt on, but she has the white long sleeve tee underneath it, some stylistically distressed jeans, and I don't remember the pair of shoes she had on, but she was dressed very casually, very stoner, very I don't care about anything and I don't got money like that type vibes, which, you know, as a go-go dancer living with her grandmother in South LA, she don't got that kind of money. So she's like a sore thumb. And I say this because she also didn't know that there was a valet there. And the valet was like, hey, lady, I have to park your car. You can't park your car. It's my job. And he had another car to park. So he said, just wait here. I'll come get your car. BRB. But when he gets back to her, she's in his car, which had been sitting there with the door open. And she was rifling through, like, his glove department and stuff, looking for stuff. And he's like, yo, sis, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? And she was like, oh, something, I have to avenge Michael Jackson. Like, she was really disjointed. Like I said, and she said that, like, I'm from Mars, don't worry about it. Just let me do this really quickly. And he was like, I'm gonna park your car. Hold on. And she was like, okay. Except he was like, maybe you shouldn't go in. And then she was already inside. Okay. Yeah. And he goes to warn, like, the waitresses and the employees, whoever's on staff. And it's like, hey, like, she seems harmless, but I think she might be on something. She's a little wacky. She's a little strange. And they were like, all right, we'll keep an eye out on her, whatever. And she sits down and she orders a $89 dinner. She orders a Kobe steak, which, whew. And yeah, you know, like, you, like, I never even been to a place with Kobe steak on the menu, baby. Like,
I was like, baby, listen. What?
Listen, she, like, she knew what she was doing, I think. No, she didn't. She didn't know what she was doing. She had no idea what she was doing.
She probably just, like, took the first thing on the menu and was like, that, I want that.
She saw steak and was like, I like steak, give me that. And she ordered some frilly drink. And, you know, while they were getting her order together, she notices a dining group not too far from her, and she joins them, and she starts talking to them and being, you know, a little chaotic, talking about again how she's from Mars and she's going to Hawaii and she's going to call them when she gets there, and she's doing this and she's doing that, and she knows this person and that person. She's having grandiose delusions.
Yep.
And she's very removed from reality. And the waitresses and them are like, you guys okay? How's it going? Like, do we need to move her? And the group is like, no, don't worry. We've got it under control. It's a little strange, but she seems fine. She's just talking. She's enjoying us, whatever. And I just want to say, like, if this had been, like, somebody who was clearly homeless, this would have gone completely differently. Like,
they would've been different.
Repulsed. Like, they would have been like, you got to get her the fuck away from me. But instead, they were like, no, she's fine. Don't trip. But she does leave when, and they welcomed her. I just want to be clear. They welcomed her to this table and engaged with her. But when her food comes out, she goes back to her table and she eats. But when they get up, when the seven diners get up to leave, she gets up and follows them. She's heading out with them because they're a group or whatever. She just happens to be sitting at another table. That's what's going through her mind. And yeah. The manager catches up to her and he's like, hey, you didn't pay for that. How are you going to pay for that? And she's like, they covered it. Of course they covered it. I was with them. They covered my food. And he's like, no, baby, that's not what happened. How are you going to pay for this? It's $89. And she says, I'm busted. What are we going to do now? And it's the dissonance of that. Like, I don't think she was saying that she's been caught by him. I don't think that's what was being said.
No.
And I don't think, and matter of fact, I don't think she was talking to him at all.
No, I don't think so either.
I think she was talking to somebody in her head. And again, it's just a presumption, a guess, a hypothesis that she's schizophrenic, but hear me out. I don't think she was talking to him. I think she was talking to somebody in her head and she just happened to say it out loud. And he's like, where's your money? She starts pulling out her pockets. I don't have any money. Da-da-da-da. I just want to go home. And he's like, can I call your mom? And she's like, I don't have a mom, which is not true. But instead they call her great-grandmother, Mildred. And like I said, Mildred is 90. She cannot come up here and solve this issue, but she does offer her credit card. But Joffrey's is like, well, we need your signature. We can't just take your credit card. We need your signature, which is bullshit. You can just take her credit card. Like, you don't need.
Well,
I
wouldn't know how it was in the early 2000s. I don't know how strict they were.
That's true. But again, you know, technically, couldn't Mitrice just sign it? Like,
but at the same time, I think, like, I mean, because, like, I don't know. I mean, because, like, I mean, I would have signed it. Like,
I would have just signed it.
Gave it to me. But that's also because we live in the year of 2020. No one cares.
That's true.
But it's, like, I think in the early 2000s, it was really, really important because I think they had to verify, like, everything.
Okay.
So,
yeah, okay.
And also, you got to think about, like, credit card fraud was, like, a huge thing. Like, if they didn't need your signature at all for credit cards, like, how much more bigger would be?
Whatever.
You should have let me mail the check or something.
Something. Like, let her go home. Like, I can pay. Like, you could have arranged for her. Like, I don't think, whatever. They called the cops.
Yeah.
And they hemmed and hawed, and the employees were like, maybe we should just pay it and let her go. But the manager was too concerned that she wasn't okay. Like, she had pulled out a joint, and he was like, I think she's done something. Told the cops, like, I want to do a citizen's arrest. I don't think she should be driving. I don't think she should be walking around here on her own. Like, I want to know for my own sake, mind's sake, that she's somewhere safe waiting on somebody to come get her, essentially. Mm-hmm. Like, that was his whole thing. Yeah. And so they took her in, and they tried to go through her car to see if they could find her wallet and stuff, and they couldn't. It was a complete mess. It was, like, disordered and junky, and, like, I can't pathologize that. I'm not going to pathologize that. Some people cars just be dirty, and, like, it might have been a sign of mental unwellness, but it also might not have been, you know? So they impound her car because they can't just leave it in the parking lot. And they take her down to the Los Angeles Sheriff's Department because they're in LA County, not in LA, to be clear. And she is booked, technically speaking. Mm-hmm. And they tell her what her charges are, but it's just on minor possession of marijuana and skipping out on a check. These are not arrestable offenses. These are, like, citations at most. Yep. And what's that word?
Misdemeanors.
Misdemeanors. Like, you wouldn't get arrested. Like, you wouldn't go to jail for these things.
You know what I hate?
What?
I hate that I immediately thought of Missy Elliott when I said
misdemeanor. I thought of it too. I was gonna say, like, you're gonna mention Missy Elliott. So this is already a little weird and unorthodox. And the reason I'm saying that is because if you were willing to, like, bring her to jail for a half a joint and a meal ticket, you should be willing to keep her overnight.
Exactly.
And I'm about to get into that. So they book her, they let her have a phone call, okay? She makes two phone calls, but she makes it on the deputy's desk phone, not on the pay phone that records the phone calls. And this is significant for a reason. And they say the pay phone wasn't working, and that's why they let her do it on the desk phone. But and you know, her mom calls, and, like, she's like, hey, you have my daughter there, my Trace Richardson, what are we gonna do? Like, are you guys gonna release her tonight? Are you gonna write her up? Like, what charges are gonna be filed? Because, like, I have a 10-year-old daughter here, and I don't want, and she's asleep right now, and I don't want to come up there and, like, drag her up there if you're gonna hold her all night. Like, I don't want to drag my daughter out and she and wake her up out of her sleep just to stay there until the crack of dawn before you let my other daughter out. So, like, but if you release, the only way I'm going to come get her, like, right now is if you're releasing her tonight. Like, I don't want to wake up in the morning and it says, you know, young Black girl missing with her head chopped off. You know, like, I want, like, so let me know, basically, if you're going to let her out tonight or tomorrow. And they tell her, like, don't worry, she's perfectly safe here. We'll keep her tonight. Don't, like, you can come get her in the morning. Well, the morning comes. And Latice, her mom, calls again and says, hey, so how do we do this? I'm about to come pick up my daughter, my trees. I called a couple hours ago. She is she ready? And they're like, ma'am, your daughter got released at 12:28 last night.
I said what?
Excuse me? You told me you guys were keeping her last night. I would have came and got her if you guys weren't going to keep her. That was the whole plan. That's what we agreed on. And they're like, no, ma'am, we let her go. And so she calls up again. She's like, okay, so do you know where she went? Like, which way did she go? You know, when can I file a police, like, a missing persons report on my daughter. It's been a couple of hours. She still hasn't made it home. You guys said you released her last night. You guys weren't supposed to release her at all. Where's my daughter, basically? And they're like, nobody was on duty. We don't know which way she went. It was a shift change, so we don't know. Nobody was looking at her. We weren't there when she was released. And, you know, she's a fully grown woman. She doesn't, you know, we couldn't hold her. She didn't have anything to arrest her for. And she seemed perfectly fine. We didn't see any mental incapacity, so we let her go. And it's like, it was dark. It was midnight. And she had no car, no phone, no money. And the impound lot where her car was almost 10 miles away. And yes, the first thing they checked was the pathway to the impound lot. No, she was not there. Okay? So, you know, obviously her mom is stressed. Her mom's freaking out. She's like, what the fuck is going on? And later we find out that somebody called at like 1 a.m. that night to complain about a woman in his backyard, sort of. He lived off the hiking trail out in Malibu towards the Malibu Canyons. And he's a reporter, actually. His name is Bill Smith, I think. Is that right? Mm-hmm. Is his name Smith?
Yeah. Yes.
In Montanito, which is not too far from where the place was. And actually, he called at 6:30 a.m. And she was in his backyard, and he keeps it open because, like, horses come through and things like that. And then the family likes it. It's cute, whatever.
And because white people aren't afraid of anything.
Yeah, white people aren't afraid of shit at all. So he goes out. He's like, hey, girl, you good? You okay? Because he opens one. It's like, you good, sis? Like, do you need help? Like, what can I do for you? What are you doing? And she's like, I'm just resting. Dump trip. And she immediately gets up and leaves. And that's when he calls the police. He's like, hey, this girl was here and now she's gone. And he describes her as a black girl with dark skin and big afro hair. He kept saying big afro hair.
Killing me. I was like, what, sir? Can you please?
Yeah, and so during this time, Latisse is like freaking out. She's calling people. Have you seen my trees? Have you seen my trees? Have you seen my trees? Has my trees called you? You know, and she ends up calling my trees' former boss, the person who ran her internship, Dr. Hampton. And she tells Dr. Hampton what's been going on and how she's been acting and how she's missing. And Dr. Hammond's immediately like, oh, this is not okay. And she starts going around trying to get people to open up this case, and finally they get to place a missing persons report, and they're like demanding that she gets a large search, because she should have been home by now, even if she was on foot. And they're like, why was she on foot? Why didn't you guys bring her to her car? If it was right down the road, like, you drove Mel Gibson to get his car, why didn't you drive her to get her car? And
We know several reasons.
And immediately there, and so it doesn't take very long for the news and the media, thanks to Latisse Sutton and Dr. Hampton, to get a hold of this story. And so promptly, they have Steve Whitmore, who is the spokesman for the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department, doing damage control, which again sparked them, why are y'all already doing damage control questions from Dr. Hampton? Like, if y'all ain't do nothing wrong, why are y'all doing damage control? Just go find her. Just go find her.
Right? Because
I agree. Just go find her. Like, why are you talking to the media when you could just be finding her?
Because, like, I don't think
already.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. But not just fine. For the people who aren't from the US of A and aren't aware of California, California is a very mountainous area and it has a lot of deserts. So, where So the point being is that, like, she basically had to walk basically in pitch darkness because there wasn't a lot of street lights. And she had to walk along mountains and hills and things like that where coyotes and mountain lions and all these bears. And I mean, y'all, the national animal is a grizzly bear in California. So
literally a grizzly bear. A grizzly.
Come on. And, you know, she had to walk in a place that she didn't know and try to find her way home, basically, in pitch black darkness. So,
yeah.
I myself probably would have sat outside the police station, not gonna lie.
Honest to God. Like, no, I'm not fucking walking around your stupid fucking town. I'm not from here. I'm not from here.
Literally would have threw a rock at the window. All right, I gotta come back in. I'll accept the misdemeanor. Like, I need spice.
I'm gonna break your shit. Like, I'm not from here. Stop. And, like, this is important because, like, even her mom is like, that's not her stomping ground. She's never been to Malibu. And they were like, maybe she got on a bus. And she's like, my daughter has never been on a bus. She don't know how to work no damn bus. What are you talking about?
And the bus know? Wasn't running that late anyway.
Because it's fucking midnight. So what are you talking about? And they're saying there's no footage. And they're like, how the fuck is there no footage? You're a fucking police station. What do you mean there's no footage? And eventually we find out that there was footage.
And I did find a YouTube video of that. So I will also be posting that on our blog if you'd like
to. Yes. So let's be clear. They buried the footage for like almost a year. Like
mm-hmm.
they the footage has existed. Okay. And basically, the next step was that they, Latisse and Dr. Hampton were going out of their way to try to get any sort of coverage for Maitrece. There's all types of mm-hmm. drives and marches and shit for people to come and support and say they're looking for her and ask cops to look for her and things like that. Like
mm-hmm.
people are out in the streets for her and they're doing local search groups. Like there are volunteer search parties happening, searching high and low for her. She has a couple of sightings. Two of them are in Las Vegas. One of them, her dad saw her on the Las Vegas Strip. And he posited that maybe she had been forced into sex work and that it was everybody's pointing the fingers at the police department, by the way. They're like, you guys didn't do your job, you guys didn't take care of her, you're supposed to take care of her. As like, you're not just supposed to arrest people, you're supposed to care for the community. Like, you're supposed to protect. The whole mantra is serve and protect. You didn't serve nor protect. And so you guys might have had something to do with it. And another friend saw her in the streets of L.A., and says she was barefoot and wearing the same outfit she had on at Joffrey's, but minus the hat and the Bob Marley shirt, but that was never confirmed. Like, it's just assumed. It might have happened. It might not have happened. She was seen another time in Las Vegas, but that's also not confirmed. And meanwhile, searches are happening. So on January 9th in 2010, this is 4 months after she's gone missing, Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department conducted one of the largest scale searches in the history of the department, because at this point they had been accused of not actually searching for her. Like the mm-hmm. search, the first search they had done, they stopped at like 4:30 p.m. and hadn't found anything. And you know, searches, they go on until nighttime. So when that happened, everybody was again suspicious, like, why did you just give up? But they had 300 volunteers on the one on January 9th doing a search and rescue, and they were all over Malibu Canyon searching creeks, trails, and ridges, but they did not find her or any evidence that she had been there. At the same time, we had Maurice Dubois, who was the father of Amber Dubois, who was a murdered child, who had gone missing around the same time that Maitrece went missing. Yeah, around the same time Maitrece went missing. And so he was helping them out too, and also helping them get media coverage for Maitrece's story.
And so they did a two-day search on June 5th and June 6th of 2010 in the Monte Nido area of the Malibu Canyon, where she was last seen. That's where she was seen in the backyard of old dude, remember? And then they didn't find anything there, but they did, well, they didn't find anything that explicitly pointed towards Maitrice being there. Instead, they found this mural, let's call it a mural.
Graffiti. Ugh,
yeah, it's like, it was covered in naked black women and saying like Afro hoes all over it. And like, there was like a woman coming out of the coochie, you know, like, you know, typical shit. And they thought that somebody was trying to say that they were talking about Maitrice, but I feel like that's a really loose connection.
Very loose. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really loose. It wasn't until August 9th, 2010, almost a full year since she had gone missing, that they found Maitrice's remains in a creek bed in Malibu Canyon, but this is specifically the Dark Canyon. That's what it's nicknamed, the Dark Canyon, mm-hmm. that is almost impossible to reach by foot. And there in her body was basically all in one piece and practically untouched. Mm-hmm. It's described as she was naked and she was pretty much mummified. And she was found near a ranch that was known for producing pornography. And somewhere in the area, there was a weed farm that was supposedly ran by a Mexican cartel that had been, like, her body was found because while officials were trying to make sure that the weed that had been planted the year prior was still gone, they ran across her body, her remains. Mm. And so they called LAPD and the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department to come handle the case after that. And of course, LASD immediately comes and fucks it all up. They moved her body without the coroner's permission.
Y'all, and... let me tell y'all, so I found the document, which I'll link on our blog, that basically talks about the reasons why they decided to move the body and why they thought it was basically perfectly okay to move said body and whatever. And so essentially what happened is around the time that they actually found her body, it was, I don't want to say it was late at night, but like it was pretty late in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. And so apparently, mind y'all, this is the sheriff's office. This is the county sheriff's office. They got money.
They got money. They're one of the richest things in the whole country.
Exactly. This is not a small town police department like many people were trying to report. This is the sheriff's office. So they said that the reason why the coroner couldn't get there in time basically for like 2-3 hours because they were with her body for nearly 4 hours, to be honest, if you really think about it. Because there was just like, well, there were two other emergencies that occurred and the helicopter team had to go there first and they had to go to the second emergency and we kind of just stood around watching and waiting and then we didn't know that no one could come until it was starting to get late and then we had the option of leaving her remains there and never finding the spot again or waiting till tomorrow morning for the coroner's office to get here. So instead, we decided to go ahead and criminalize ourselves and move the body, disturb the crime scene so that no evidence could actually be found into how Maitrice died. Did I sum that up correctly?
I think you did. I think you did a good job.
Right? Yeah. That's basically what happened, y'all.
This is utter bullshit.
And even then, after the coroner did get to her body, which, by the way, the coroner was like, you should not have done that. But
immediately, it's like, what are y'all doing?
Literally. you went against all my wishes. What the fuck? After the coroner examined her body and an autopsy was performed, they actually could not determine how she died.
No, and to this day, we don't know how she died.
Mm-mm, we just know that she did.
So, yeah.
Y'all know how even more fucked up the situation got? Maitrice reached media coverage. She actually appeared on the cover of People magazine in November of 2009. She got her own episode of Disappeared on the Investigation Discovery Channel, which aired on November 19th, 2012. So her case has been talked about for a while. She had she had Maxine Waters, who actually on May 6th, 2010, who was a congresswoman, talk about how Maitrice's civil rights were actually violated when she was arrested, and that how there should be an investigation into the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department. And, you know, basically, you know, she got all these people basically backing her up and being like, yo, like, what the department did was horrible.
Yeah.
Then enters Kamala Harris.
Freaking Kamala.
At this time, Kamala actually was the district attorney of California, and the previous sheriff that was there.
Attorney General.
The previous sheriff that was there, because he died in like 98, but the previous sheriff that was there, she actually endorsed him for that position.
Right.
So when it came about, when people were like, hey, like, investigate into like this police department, because there's a lot of things that have been happening that sketch, she basically was like, I don't see anything wrong. Nothing wrong happened. They did what they were supposed to do.
And then it was brought into question later when she was running for Senate in California again. It's like, hey, do you remember the Maitrice Richardson case? Remember? It's kind of a big deal. And then you were like, nah. You want to talk about why you said nah? Because they still fucking up.
They still fucking up, dude. And she sort of looked into it, but still basically came to the same conclusion.
Yeah.
That
they did no wrong.
No one was surprised. No one was like, oh my God, wow. People were just like, really, bitch? Like, seriously?
Again.
And I say that because I'm pretty sure that's what people like actually said. And now, as y'all can see, she's running for VP.
And she might win. And she might win.
I'm not going to say what I want to say. But since she actually started running for VP, what is actually really crazy is that she removed any kind of affiliation that she had with the Maitrice Richardson case from her Wikipedia page and also from her website. Sus.
The bitch hiding from her truth. The bitch hiding from her truth.
Because here's what kills me. Here's the kicker, y'all. So like I said, the previous sheriff that worked when the whole thing with Maitrice happened died in 98. A new sheriff took over. And if y'all are following where I'm going, if you're from the U.S., you're from California, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Sheriff LaBoca, whatever, I think that's his name, LaBoca.
Sheriff Baca.
Baca, there we go. Sheriff Baca. Y'all, that man was investigated for like 2 years into the misconduct of how he was treating inmates, and then also how he was falsifying information, and how he, the way he just dealt with the sheriff's department in general. Like, he actually was investigated and found guilty, and he actually took a plea deal so he could only spend 3 years in prison. And now Shorty got Alzheimer's.
Oh my God, what? He has Alzheimer's?
Yeah.
So we'll never know the truth.
No.
Oh, that's so fucked up.
Right?
Oh my God. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. What?
It made me so angry because I'm like, how could you investigate? And mind y'all, it's not like, obviously, Kamala could look into and get this information on themselves, but like people were sending them evidence. They were sending them the video. They were sending her like so much to her office where she was at the time. And still she was like, I didn't see any wrong. And this is why nobody wanted to vote for her for president of the United States of America.
Because the bitch is a bad person.
She is a cop. She is a cop.
Cop Mala.
Gee, like, what?
Evil bitch.
And I mean, like, y'all, like, I mean, even when the everything happened in the beginning, not the beginning of this year, but like, when everything came to the heat of the moment, which, by the way, people are still protesting. I need y'all to know that.
People are still protesting.
People are still protesting for Black Lives Matter. I just want y'all to know that. Not just in Philly, I'm talking about everywhere. Unanimously, people are still protesting that. We are still actively protesting it. But when everything basically came to a halt, or the hilt or the top or whatever, in middle of this year, y'all do realize that the cops that we were seeing in California doing all that stuff, like throwing, not grenades, but, you know, throwing, like, macing people, shoving people, arresting people, that was the LA sheriff, county office.
Them. They're the ones terrorizing us.
They are the ones terrorizing people.
They've been terrorizing folks for a while.
Exactly. They are the ones who have been under steady investigation for years. You don't know how many cops have been fired in that department alone, or been like, obviously they don't really get fired. They really just get suspended without pay.
And then they get rehired. Because something I read was like, this particular unit hires and rehires people. And they even had somebody... Well, no, go ahead. I'm not going to...
No, go ahead. Dude.
There was a guy who got shot recently. Who was that story? Hold on. Oh, the fucking phone. Sorry. There's a lot of shit at this fucking department.
It's so much.
Who got murked? Dijon Kizzy. Kizzy? I don't know. Shot dead on August 31st of this year. And that was part of why LA was going ham, right? Which we didn't hear about on a national level, which I think is because of the LA Sheriff's Department, because it's one of theirs. And like we said, they got mad money. They can bury whatever story they want to bury.
Thank you so much.
And so in response, somebody shot two deputies in their squad car. And you know what Biden and Kamala was like? That's unconscionable. And President Trump was like, I hope you get the death penalty. And then I think we still don't know who the person who shot the deputies were, but that's what the people going for office had to say about the sheriff department shooting an innocent Black man, an unarmed innocent Black man. And instead they focused on what happened to the cops, right? And so somebody else decided to be a whistleblower about this place, because the person who shot Kizzy, I'm going to call him Dijon, I don't like his last name, was trying to get into a gang in the LASD, the Los Angeles Sheriff's Department, in which they basically have a running tab on who's killing who, who's getting illegal arrests, who's committing sexual assaults, who's doing XYZ. The clique is called the Executioners. And basically, they are constantly running, you know, who's the worst of the worst in the cops. And they also get tattooed, and sometimes it's like Nazi-related imagery. Like, they are literally white supremacists over there, like strong white supremacy. Strong. They put a dead rat on Shorty's doorstep, okay? Like, people are coming out and complaining, people who worked for LASD, who are like, these people are not good people, and they are doing these crimes on purpose. They know what they're doing. Perfect. There is no probable cause. They're shooting these people on purpose. They're causing harm on purpose. And, like, that's the history of this department. And as far as we know, it's going back as far back as Baca, you know? And it probably even before him, he had to learn it from somebody.
Yeah, listen. And, like, I hate to say it, But I mean, it's been speculated. They were involved. I don't care.
They were involved. Like, they were involved. I don't care what y'all have to say. They
I
did
really
it.
I don't. Because it's like, why else would y'all have put out that statement when nobody was accusing you of anything? Like, you tattled on yourself right then and there.
Like when you had Stephen Whitmore say, we did nothing wrong. She was a grown woman and she gets to leave. Like, we did the right thing here. You were telling on yourself. Because exactly. Nobody suspected you of doing anything. Nobody accused you guys of harming her or doing wrong by her. Mm-hmm. Y'all preemptively said that shit.
Exactly. And so the aftermath is that, so I actually just found out, so I just looked here. It was actually the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department that claimed that Maitrice had bipolar disorder.
Oh my God.
Which is
Oh my God.
Which makes so much sense. And I say that because in the documentary that we watched, Dr. Hampton was always talking about, like, they had no qualifications to say this. They had no qualifications to say that. And I was like, what did they say? And I guess we missed that where it was cut out.
She said that they had no qualifications to say that she didn't have any mental illnesses. Because if you're not qualified to diagnose her with one, you're not qualified to diagnose her without one.
Yeah.
Okay. Which is true, but they also kept saying, like, we can't determine whether or not somebody's mentally ill or not. So for y'all to go then and say that she was bipolar, you're going against what you already said you wouldn't do.
Exactly.
Y'all
have something to do with it. So, in 2011, both Latisse and Michael actually sued the sheriff's department, and it was, I believe, settled out of court because, yeah, and they were awarded $450,000 each. And then, like I said, you know, the Richardson family and also her mom really asked Kamala Harris. And to look into it, and again, it was just like, there's not enough evidence. I don't see anything wrong. They didn't do anything wrong, and it's like I myself would have fought you.
Yeah,
I would have caught you outside. I don't care.
Period.
Like, because you got to be somewhere. But yes, y'all, that is the case of
Maitrice Richardson. Technically still unsolved, because how did she die?
Exactly. It is actually still unsolved. It is actually a cold case if you genuinely really think about it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of basically speculation surrounding everything. Again, let's not go along with the bipolar disorder diagnosis, considering the fact that she actually never received that from any licensed psychologist.
So she was bipolar.
Please, because I don't really think that that's true. And sure. I am pretty sure that the family at some point actually would have got her evaluated. I just think that it's very common within Black families to not want to take that step just yet until you absolutely have to.
Her mom was worried that she was depressed, and so that's part of the reason she was so worried for her to be out on her own. And, like, I think she was ready to go get her tested evaluated, let's put it that way. Because it was getting scary. Like, all of her friends, all of her family were getting these weird text messages and seeing these weird Facebook posts and were concerned. Like, it was getting a little dark, a little treacherous, and it was time, and that's the, and I'm almost positive that if her mom had been allowed to go get her, the next step would have been to go see Dr. Hampton to get her evaluated.
Absolutely.
And the cops stole that from this family. They stole this woman's child from her. And I am going to put this on you because, you know, it is your job to hold people who are not acting stably. And, like, if you say, like, you guys were the ones who called her a little bit ditzy at Joffrey's. You guys were the ones saying that she was acting strange. And, like, so if you thought she was acting strange, but you knew she wasn't intoxicated, you knew she wasn't high, You keep her, because then what is causing that behavior, which is what her mom was saying in that documentary we watched, you know, if it's not outside sources causing this behavior, what is it then? Like, wouldn't it be something internal, and wouldn't it be then be your responsibility to keep her there, to protect her from herself and others? Come on. And they failed her, and I think it was intentional, and now that poor girl is gone forever, and that's really fucked up.
It's sad. It's so unfortunate. This is why we'll always say all cops are bad, because
all cops are bad. Good cops. The fuck is wrong with y'all? If they want to be like, well, it's in our job to do. What is your job then? What is your job? What do you do?
Exactly. What's your point? What are we paying you for? What are you getting all this money to this department for? Anyway,
that was the case of Maitrice Richardson, y'all.
This has been another episode of What Would You Do? I'm Danny.
And I'm Ray.
And my question to you is, what would you do if you were in this situation? If you were Maitrice's parents, what would you do? What would you have done differently? What do you think? Interact with us. Let us know. DM us on our social media sites. Comment on our blog. Let us know. What do you think?
What do you think?
And please remember, we will be going on break, not after this episode.
But after the next one.
But after the next one. So peace.
Peace.